The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
In our now completely Orwellian world, here's a quote from George Orwell from the book 1984. In our society, those who have the greatest knowledge of what is happening are also those who are the furthest from seeing the world as it is. In general, the greater the understanding, the greater the delusion. The more intelligent, the less sane. Again, George Orwell, 1984. Let me sum this up. The vast majority in academia have refused to see and or acknowledge the full truth in so many cases. Thus, whether actively or passively, so much of academia has served the power structure and thus betrayed the populations of the world and the web of life. This is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org. This is the weekly edition of the Global Alert News Hour, commercial free. And this is an attempt to try to bring to light some of what desperately needs to be understood and realized by the populations of not just America, not just industrialized nations, but all nations, so that we might try to avert the converging catastrophes that are closing in on us from all sides. I want to read one more quote from my good friend Gregory Cheadle, former U.S. congressional candidate from Shasta County. Historically, it has always been those in government who deceived and kept the masses in ignorance for the sake of their own position, only to be eliminated later themselves. For those in agencies who think that they are immune to what's unfolding because of their paychecks and pensions and their willingness to toe the line for the power structure, you'll be soon awakened to the fact that you were horribly wrong. As the ship goes down, you're on that ship as well. Continuing with these announcements, this news program is broadcast for May 6, 2017. It's broadcast throughout Northern California on KQMS on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, 105.7 FM. Global Alert News Hour also aired on the East Coast on the PRN radio network. My thanks to Gary Null for all his work for the greater good. The recordings of this show can be found at the Geoengineering Watch site on the homepage, geoengineeringwatch.org, under recent radio and top stories, also on the KQMS archives. As always, I state Orchard Nutrition materials are there that are free for anyone who will put them to use. It includes commercial DVDs, very comprehensive on the climate engineering issue with testimony from experts. And what I ask with those DVDs, please duplicate them and share them. We can't supply free copies to everyone. We're doing our best, but we need people who actually will take a copy to put that copy to use and duplicate them yourselves. It's not copyrighted. Our attempt is to get those DVDs in the hands of as many people as we can. And the visual presentations, PowerPoint presentations in those DVDs, again, testimony from experts, former government scientists, former Union of Concerned Scientists, former pilots, there is a great amount of data in those DVDs. So we need people to help duplicate those, spread the word, spread the news, the information, and look up. Please look up and look at what's going on above your head every single day. If you think it's not affecting you, you're wrong. It's affecting everything. And we have global events unfolding right now. I'll get to as many headlines as I can, try to weave this together in some coherent fashion so that we have a clear understanding of what's unfolding around us. I want to also thank the Jim Fair Group, who weekly and very diligently has a Geoengineering Watch information booth at all their events. They have a May 12th through 14th event at the Orange County Fairgrounds Event Center. You can go to the Jim Fair site. That's G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E. And look at their schedule. They have another event May 12th through 14th, also in Sacramento at the Scottish Rite Center. So there will be Geoengineering Watch booths at those events. You can look at the Jim Fair calendar for details on that. Important legal update. The efforts of the Legal Alliance to Stop Geoengineering, working with geoengineeringwatch.org, are ongoing. A major part of our efforts are to utilize the Freedom of Information Act regulations to acquire crucial data. This is easier said than done when the government agencies are now willing to completely ignore the law. And here's an update prepared specifically for this radio broadcast by LASG attorney Julio Gomez. This is from Mr. Gomez. In 1971, the federal government enacted a law requiring anyone engaged in weather modification activity in the United States to submit a report to the Department of Commerce. 15 U.S. Code Section 330, the law defines, quote, weather modification as any activity produced with the intention to cause artificial change in the composition, behavior, or dynamics of the atmosphere. The Secretary of the Department of Commerce is required by this federal statute to maintain a record of all weather modification activities which take place in the United States and to publish and summarize those activities. In March of this year, through its attorney, geoengineeringwatch.org, sent a FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act request, to the U.S. Department of Commerce requesting that the Secretary produce a copy of all documents pertaining to its authority under this federal law. Again, 15 U.S. Code Section 330. This week, Geoengineering Watch finally received a response stating categorically that the department has no documents to produce, not a single record, not a single page. Essentially, Mr. Gomez continues, the federal government is claiming that in 46 years, the Department of Commerce has not received a single report for any weather modification activity conducted in the United States and has not kept a single record of any such activity in 46 years. To say that the Department of Commerce, Mr. Gomez concludes, including NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Agency, and the National Weather Service, do not have any documents on weather modification that have been required by federal law for four decades strains credulity to the breaking point. How can anyone possibly believe, Mr. Gomez finalizes, that the federal government does not have any records regarding any such activity? GeoengineeringWatch.org will appeal this FOIA response forthwith and will keep the public informed about this matter as it develops. Signed, Attorney Julio Gomez, member LASG, Legal Alliance to Stop Geoengineering. That's what we have from government agencies, a complete blatant stonewalling of information. We have hundreds of publicized weather modifications projects, smaller scale, not geoengineering, going on across the United States every single year, and they claim in 4.5 decades that they have no records of anything occurring. This is total absurdity, but that's the kind of, again, total stonewalling we're having from our so-called government right now, which is nothing more than a criminal cabal masquerading as a government. And they're trying to now galvanize the population into supporting the military-industrial complex into global conflict. And the attempt by mainstream media to demonize, on that note, the push for global conflict, the attempt by mainstream media to demonize Russia for trying to influence elections is truly beyond absurd also at this point, given the long and well-documented history of the United States not only interfering with elections, but constantly toppling democratically elected governments in the name of, quote, protecting U.S. interests. And we all know what that means, protecting the central bankers' interests. We live in the United States of total hypocrisy at this point. We're all living in what is truly an insane asylum. And how did it get so bad? Because so far, the majority of the population does not want to hear or be bothered with any news or facts that interfere with their power structure programmed patriotism or their Pollyanna view of the world. Because so much of the public's propensity to go along with the majority consensus programmed herd mentality groupthink. Because so far the majority of the population has shown little to no sense of their own responsibility to the greater good, with no apparent sense of what true patriotism means. Patriotism is not sitting on the bench and blindly accepting a completely false view of the world that is spoon-fed to you by the criminals that rule the world and the mainstream media. Anyone with any sense of honor and responsibility to the whole will find the courage to engage in a real investigation of the facts, and then to face those facts. Our country's being run by nothing less than a cancerous criminal cabal that's completely out of control, and the legions of order followers who blindly serve the power elite need to wake up and consider their part in the play. This reality goes back a very long way and involves all the former actors in the play: Obama, Bushes, Clintons, etc., not just Trump. All of them are simply part of the power structure. All were criminals, all are criminals, and if Americans don't wake up, face reality, and help to alter the current course of the Titanic in which we're all currently passengers, we're very close to the end of the road, as we have known it. The U.S. power structure will always scapegoat and demonize other countries for what they themselves are engaged in on a much more massive scale. The U.S. demonization of Russia and other countries is simply an absurdly transparent ploy to convince the so far all too gullible public that America is good and everyone else is bad. And when will such a simplistic absurdity be seen for what it is? Total nonsense. And a final note on this issue. So Russia is blamed with no proof that they were responsible for leaking emails about Hillary Clinton, which simply proved that she was and is a criminal. And Trump said he would, as I reminded in previous shows, would prosecute Clinton. Did he? No. It's all an orchestrated distraction. When will the public wake up to that fact? Here's a report from the LA Times. A lot to cover today. I don't know if I'll get through it all, but I'll try. There's too much unfolding on the planet right now, and people that are just going about their lives as if nothing's wrong or as if it's all going to magically work itself out. You need to wake up and help in the fight for the greater good if you care about anything. Your children, your own life, anything. Help us. From the LA Times. The CIA has accused Russia of interfering with the 2016 presidential election by hacking into Democratic and Republican computer networks and selectively releasing emails. Again, what did those emails prove? That Hillary Clinton was a criminal? So what? Shouldn't we know that? Don't we have a right to know that? Shouldn't Trump be prosecuting that? But he isn't. Continuing with the report from the Times, it states, but critics might point out that the U.S. has done much worse and much more often. Again, let's consider Russia simply no proof at all that they did this anyway, but even if they did, releasing emails about Clinton being a criminal should be a favor for us all, and Trump certainly in the same category. Continuing, the U.S., this is directly from the Times, the U.S. has a long history of attempting to influence presidential elections in other countries. Don't hear much about that in mainstream media, do we? Continuing from the LA Times report, quote, it's done so as many as 81 times between 1946 and 2000, according to a database amassed by political scientist Dov Levin from Carnegie Mellon University. Final statement from this report, that number does not include military coups and regime change efforts following the election of candidates the U.S. didn't like, notably those in Iran, Guatemala, Chile, and other countries, nor does it include general assistance with electoral processes such as election monitoring. 81 times, not counting coups and regime changes. That's how many times our country has interfered with the democratic processes of other countries, and we're demonizing Russia and attempting to push toward global conflict because they released some emails the public had a right to know about Hillary Clinton being a criminal. We're living in an absolute insane asylum, and for the American population, again, to go about their lives as if nothing's wrong or as if they have no part in trying to turn the tide of this insanity before we completely hit the wall, that's a complete lack of responsibility. The American public needs to wake up and do their part to overturn the current wave of insanity in which we're all caught up in. While on the subject of total hypocrisy, let's continue this theme. So the U.S. has interfered 81 times with other countries' democratic processes, not including coups and regime changes. Now we're about to push World War III with North Korea for testing some missiles, which, again, our country has detonated some 1,300. This is only our country, nuclear weapons. Not accountable to anybody, blown up islands in the South Seas as if we had the right to do so, detonated weapons in our own country, poisoning our own population. And with all this going on, pushing North Korea toward World War III because they're testing some of their missiles, what is the U.S. doing? Here's the headline. U.S. to launch another provocative intercontinental ballistic missile test while we're telling North Korea they can't. From Vandenberg Air Force Base, amidst mounting tensions between the United States and North Korea, and just 1 week after a test launch of a U.S. unarmed intercontinental ballistic missile, the U.S. has scheduled another Minuteman III ICBM missile test for Wednesday, May 3rd from Vandenberg Air Force Base. And like last week's test, according to Air Force Global Strike Command, the purpose of the ICBM test launch program is to validate and verify the effectiveness, readiness, and accuracy of the weapon system. So the U.S. has the right to use nuclear weapons, and twice those weapons were used on innocent civilian populations unnecessarily. That's what the history makes clear in Japan. And we are now testing, continuing to test our intercontinental ballistic missiles, but no one else has the right to do that. Only the U.S. Total hypocrisy. This is what the American public needs to face. It needs to take a long, hard look in the mirror when we see these propagandistic military recruiting commercials that are absolutely nauseating, as if this is some kind of a football game. They show marching out onto a field as if this is, and they compare it to a football game, like you're on the team now that gets to win. What does winning mean? Is it pursuing U.S. interests, and that's what winning means when you're able to conquer, take over, and occupy countries and strip them of their resources? That's what the winning team does? Is this what America's about? Is this what Donald Trump means when he says, make America great again? Is this what our country stands for? It's not what I support. It's not what I would want done in my name. That's not what being great means, is it? I want to continue. Here's a quote from Nazi war criminal Hermann Göring. Quote, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them they are being attacked and denounce the peacemakers for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same in any country. This is the model that's being practiced in the United States of America. From demonization of one country to another, all to galvanize the American population into supporting the military-industrial complex in exactly the same way that Nazi war criminal Hermann Göring just stated. It's exactly that type of patriotism that's being practiced in this country right now. If this trend of willful blindness and unquestioning obedience to the criminal power structure does not change, we have no chance. None. A final example of total hypocrisy in a completely different direction here. The climate change global warming marches that just occurred last weekend, and some drew 200,000. And how many of those activists were willing to address the single greatest environmentally damaging factor of all and climate disrupting factor of all? The climate engineering weather warfare assault. And such willful denial is total hypocrisy. And to clarify for the record, to those in the anti-geoengineering community that, and I thank you, by the way, for fighting to expose this dire issue, but if you have chosen to believe that climate engineering is the only human activity harming the planet and the climate system itself, you too are not seeing through a clear lens. Any form of human activity that affects, alters, and harms Earth's natural systems and processes is a form of geoengineering. And this includes cutting down the forests, poisoning the oceans, paving the planet, and putting 100 million tons of CO2 in the atmosphere every single day. How can anyone believe that such human-caused damage would not have an effect? Climate engineering also, massive issue, most important issue for us to deal with. But all these other issues are absolutely a part of the problem. So if those in the anti-climate engineering movement that deny that, you're also just as much in denial as the global warming environmental community that's denying climate engineering. Lots of hypocrisy, no shortage of it to go around. Here's an update on another forgotten front, a calamity that has the potential to create a global extinction event all by itself, Fukushima. Here's an excerpt from a new report. Quote, Japan wants to just drop tanks of Fukushima nuclear waste into ocean. Report continues, Americans worried over plumes hitting West Coast, plumes of radiation. Reactors are now leaking extremely high levels of radiation into the sea. The world does need to help. Japanese officials are lying about the severity of this catastrophe. U.S. official agencies have done the same. They're all covering each other. They knew from the beginning. They've lied to us from the beginning. Nuclear cataclysm is unfolding now. Another headline on Fukushima. peak of Fukushima radiation now moving to West Coast, levels much higher than predicted, huge red blob of nuclear waste near shore, San Francisco area being hit hardest, concern over iodine-129 with a 15-million-year half-life. That's from the report. I want to continue with another headline related to the continued die-off of marine mammals, animals on the U.S. West Coast. And some would relate this all to being Fukushima. That's not true. Radiation doesn't kill with this sort of rapidity. We have much, much more going on than just Fukushima. Fukushima's horrible, but we have much more going on. This is the headline. Brain rotting toxin killing huge numbers of marine animals on California coast. Die-offs skyrocket over past week. Expert states it's the worst year we've ever seen. Mass deaths of sea lions, dolphins, birds. Officials warn outbreak is spreading. This is a new headline. I know I've had headlines like this week after week because it just keeps unfolding. It gets worse and worse and worse. How far can it go? We're going to find out soon because the oceans are now dying all over the globe. And it's most horrifically being seen on some of the North American West Coast. It's happening all over the globe, though. And the other factors contributing. We have climate engineering destroying the ozone layer. Massive UV radiation is killing plankton. We have another form of geoengineering called ocean fertilization that's also deoxygenating the oceans, killing plankton as well, toxifying everything. We have superheating oceans that's causing seabed gassing of methane hydrate, hydrogen sulfide as well. That's deoxygenating the oceans. The oceans are stratifying, which makes them also hypoxic and anoxic, low and no oxygen. We have converging cataclysms happening. The oceans die, we die. Very simple. If all the trees die, we die. If the ozone layer is completely decimated beyond recovery, we die. All these cataclysms are converging. And what are we watching on TV? What are we watching on mainstream media? Political theater. And what's the average citizen doing right now? Trying to decide what the next video game will be, or when the next golf game will be, or when the next episode is of whatever is on the TV. This is complete insanity. The population needs to wake up if they have any interest in surviving. I want to continue. Yet more shocking facts to be considered in regard to the insane behavior of the human race. Let's consider this. Since 1950, some 85,000 chemicals have been introduced in the environment. Now, not 850, not 8,500, 85,000 have been introduced into the environment, most without any significant safety testing. Our atmosphere is being sprayed with toxic heavy metals and chemicals in the desperate and insane attempt to manipulate the climate system. Over 2,000 nuclear detonations have taken place, and nuclear meltdowns are now a reality with many more on the way. Again, I would state this, the human race does not collectively seem to be behaving as if survival is a priority. And even at this late hour, militarization is the theme of the day. Let's pump up the military even more. So, how is the weather? From floods to flash droughts. Here in Northern California, after a lot of rainy weather, much of it seeded with toxic elements, as we know from our rain tests, it goes to almost 100 degrees in the course of a few days. Because whenever there's not enough moisture for the climate engineers to chemically nucleate and cool things down on the surface, the temperatures go through the roof. And how much blue sky do any of us see anymore? When will people look up? Where have our once blue skies gone? Does that matter? Commercials, TV, we don't see blue skies. We see military commercials or asthma commercials or allergy commercials. That's what we see. Truly an insane asylum. And what's with the mostly sunny forecasts? What's with that? How can our meteorologists know days in advance that it's going to be mostly sunny, and almost inevitably on those days you have no natural clouds, but you have a complete canopy of whatever thickness they tend to lay on any given day, from wispy, cobwebby-looking haze to sometimes total blankets of the expanding emissions from jet aircraft, which is climate engineering, for anybody who bothers to investigate. So what's that mean? It means our weathermen are simply reading the scripts given to them by defense contractors like Raytheon, who does all the weather modeling for the National Weather Service and NOAA. National Weather Service and NOAA, by the way, as I've stated so many times, illegal federal gag order on all those scientists. This stuff's not hard to investigate and figure out for anybody who has any sense of responsibility. So what do we have? Countless record-shattering high temperatures, warmest start to a year recorded in the U.S., by the way, give way to massive and highly toxic geoengineered cooldowns carried out by the climate engineers in order for them to create the headlines they need to continue confusion and to continue confounding the population as to the true extent of biosphere implosion and overall heating of the planet. We now live on a geoengineered planet. There is no natural weather. And for those in the anti-geoengineering community that somehow want to ignore these chemical cooldown events and use that as an excuse to rant global cooling, you're part of the problem. You're repeating the exact narrative the climate engineers intend you to repeat. Please, acknowledge these chemical engineered cooldowns for what they are. On that note, we've just had a massive one. Here's a headline. This is from last week. Snow to sweep from Texas to Minnesota into the start of May. From that report, it will feel like the calendar has been turned back to winter instead of moving ahead. Now, how many times do we have summer in the middle of winter? How many record-shattering warms have we had? But yet, they just need this kind of headline to cast doubt into everybody's mind. As snow sweeps across the central United States into Monday of last week, a very strong spring storm cutting northward through the plains will dump a narrow swath of heavy snow on its western side, AccuWeather meteorologist stated. Power Structure paid actor meteorologist. Highs in the 30s will accompany the storm. Now, why is it snowing if highs are in the, quote, 30s? And it was the upper 30s and 40s is what the temperatures actually were. Why is it snowing? Doesn't anybody question reality anymore? The report continues, the gusty wind will hold AccuWeather real field temperatures down to 10 to 20 degrees. Now, another deception right there. We're talking about a wind chill. So people, all they remember is 10 to 20 degrees. Wow, that's really, really cold. That's not the temperature. That's a wind chill. Do we hear AccuWeather and other official agencies stating, by the way, the real feel or the heat index was 165 degrees in India in April? Do we hear that? We don't hear that because they don't want us to realize how hot it is. We've had heat indexes of 165 degrees in recent years, some in the early spring, from the Middle East to India. We don't hear that on our media. Further making it feel like winter has returned. Again, they try to really push this narrative of how cold, cold, cold it is while we're 100 degrees on the West Coast, and they repeat wind chill temperatures as if that's the actual temperature. Learn to look through the smoke and mirrors and see clearly. The final statement from that report, the heavy, wet nature of the snow will make it difficult to shovel. Residents, especially those with heart issues, should use caution and take frequent breaks when shoveling. Why is the snow so heavy and wet? Because the moisture for this storm came right out of the Gulf of Mexico. How can you have a storm out of the Gulf of Mexico with the record warm year in May and temperatures in the high 30s and 40s? This shouldn't be happening. Is the American population totally asleep at the wheel and back to the betrayal of academia, which I mentioned at the beginning of this show? Any meteorologists like those at AccuWeather who participate in repeating the narrative they're given as if it's reality and not a complete cover-up of climate engineering, you are a criminal accomplice to these crimes, and the public needs to hold them accountable. And it's up to all of us to do so, to find these meteorologists, to send them credible data, to put them on record, to put them on notice, to CC many others in those messages so that they know many are seeing the information they're being given so they can't deny they were given it. We all need to engage in those types of activities. Another headline elaborating on this most recent engineered winter event by the Weather Modification Insanity programs. Here's the headline. Wheat soars most on record after freak snowstorm blankets Midwest. Again, this is the type of headlines the climate engineers want. They don't care what damage they do. 12 inches of snow fell on ripening wheat in parts of Kansas, Colorado, Oklahoma, and Nebraska in the past 24 hours. And while it will take several days for the damage to be assessed accurately, early estimates suggest losses could be from 50 million bushels to 100 million bushels. And let's keep this in mind again. This completely geoengineered weather event occurred with storm moisture coming straight out of the record warm Gulf of Mexico in May. Another headline directly related to the what can only be called weather warfare that's being waged from this storm. Staggering losses being recorded for farmers and ranchers after blizzard. From that report, there are no confirmed numbers yet, but it is estimated that as many as 10,000 cattle were killed in the rare spring snowstorm. Quote from this report, all those small communities, they depend on farmers and ranchers to support their communities, to support jobs in their communities. So the effects could be extremely dire, said Colorado Farm Bureau spokesman Chad Vorthman. This is weather warfare being waged on the American population by their own government. Does anyone remember, and I've reported on this many times, the 100,000 cattle that died in South Dakota on October 4th, 2013, with temperatures at the very same time. Try to get your arms around this. They killed 100,000 cattle with a chemically nucleated event. At the same time that was happening, with snow falling in the 40-degree range, cold hardy cattle don't die at 40 degrees. It shouldn't be snowing at 40 degrees, and especially a stone throw away in Chicago at the very same time it was 85 degrees and raining. In Kansas City, it was 90 degrees and raining, and I recorded the maps. They're on geoengineeringwatch.org because they were quickly erased offline, very damning. These are in the Geoengineering Watch archives of articles. They can be easily found. These are absolutely engineered events. This is weather warfare. When will the American population wake up and face reality? And at the very same time that these 10,000 cattle were just killed after the record warm start to a year in the U.S., after three record warm years in a row, each breaking the other, 2014, 2015, and 2016, each shattering the former record year, and I think we're up to almost 700 months in a row of above normal global temperatures in a row, and we have these kind of events happening, and Americans still can't connect the dots, that you can look up on any given day and our skies look like something from another planet. But yet, if the official narrative is, don't worry, go back to sleep, it's just condensation, we're here to protect you, the American population buys that because denial feels good for them, or has felt good. It's not going to feel good as we hit the wall, which we're very, very close to doing. Don't be a part of the problem. Be a part of the solution. Change your priorities. If your priority is a golf game or a new car or another video game or whatever it is you're pursuing, if your priority is not fighting for the greater good, and even if you have children, certainly fighting for them. If you don't have children, fighting for the children that exist and deserve a future. If that's not your priority, your priorities are wrong. Plain and simple. So let's compare again. This freak snowstorm after the warmest start to a year ever in the U.S., after countless record warm temperatures. At the same time, here's a report from Russia. Russian village burns to ground as wildfires hit Siberia. State of emergency declared. Siberia burning to the ground in regions that are normally frozen or historically were frozen till June are now burning to the ground. Does that sound like global cooling to anybody? Siberia is losing about 100 million acres a year to wildfires. The planet's in total meltdown, and the only thing hiding that fact is a whole lot of climate engineering, chemical ice nucleation. And consider, as I stated earlier, the total hypocrisy of the environmental and global warming communities for not acknowledging this climate engineering elephant in the room. Total hypocrisy. I am an environmentalist. I dedicated much of my life to restoring habitat, planting trees, trying to repair forests after they were very irresponsibly logged. I've done everything I could in my life to walk the walk. But when you know the house is burning down, you have to face that fact. And pretending that you're going to save a fish or a frog somewhere while the entire planet is going down, that's not being an environmentalist. That's being a hypocrite and a denialist. The environmental and global warming communities need to face the climate engineering elephant in the room, and as do groups in other arenas as well. There's a whole lot of arenas on every side of the fence engage in efforts that mean nothing in comparison to what's happening in our skies and what our power structure is pushing us toward, global conflict. A couple more headlines I want to cover. Trump's order silences Alaskan Native voices. I want to state at the beginning, because some people don't hear me when I make certain statements. Trump is simply the current face on the power structure insanity, as Obama was the former face, Clinton or Bush before that, Clinton before that. These are just simply actors in the power structure play. But Trump is that face right now, so I will use his name when I refer to certain headlines because his name is on those headlines. He's the current representative of the power structure insanity. And I want to add this clarification also. It doesn't mean that there's not other factions of the power structure insanity. Is the completely criminally corrupt mainstream media attacking Trump constantly? Yes, absolutely. Is the media corrupt? Absolutely. They lie about everything, absolutely everything. But that doesn't mean Trump's not corrupt and who he represents is not corrupt. If we have different factions of a criminal cabal, is it not still all a criminal cabal? Maybe they're fighting amongst each other, but they're all a part of the problem. All a part of the problem. So Trump has silenced Alaskan Native voices from that report. Today, President Trump took away a longstanding treaty that provisions included traditional knowledge in the federal decision-making. Now there is no seat at the table for Alaskans. Alaskans' own congressional delegation stood by as local Alaskan voices were removed from decisions that affected their lives and now are at the mercy of federal decision-makers only. This does not benefit Alaska. Rather, it only benefits the federal government and private interests who will financially benefit from silencing voices and taking or polluting the resources that Alaskans rely on. That's what it's all about. It's no different in other countries or our own country. U.S. citizens think that their government is here to protect them. Wake up. Your government is here to exploit anyone it chooses to exploit, whether that's someone in the Middle East or Alaskans. It makes no difference. Time to face reality. And what's happening, I want to transition to the bottom of the world to try to express the totality of what's unfolding. While they're pursuing resources in Alaska, what's happening at the bottom of the world? In Antarctica, an extremely alarming headline. Headlines, in fact, multiple, they continue to come in. Here's the headline. An ice shelf the size of Delaware is about to break off Antarctica. From that report, ice shelves hold back the unimaginably huge cache of ice covering Antarctica. Losing them will speed the flow of ice into the oceans and with it crank up the rate of sea level rise. Scientists have warned that melt in West Antarctica may be unstoppable. It is unstoppable in any time frame that matters. Losing all the land ice in that region would push sea levels up 13 feet higher. It's coming. And to give an idea of the totality of ice in Antarctica, if it all melts, when it all melts on the current trajectory, that's about 200 feet of sea level rise. That's not going to happen overnight, of course, but it only takes a couple feet to inundate countless massive coastal habitations. And back to academia, back to the betrayal of academia, and people think engineers have this all figured out, our scientists have this all figured out. They wouldn't build these massive cities at sea level if they didn't know what they were doing. Well, guess what? They had no clue about reality, or they lied about reality. Take your pick, because those cities are going to go underwater. It's already happening, in Florida especially. It's happening now. And you don't have rising sea levels, you don't have melting ice from a planet that's cooling. That's very simple logic, is it not? I'm simply saying we all need to face reality. You don't have to like Al Gore. I don't like Al Gore. You can't own companies or own stock in the companies you claim to be fighting and not be a complete hypocrite. So Al Gore is absolutely a hypocrite, along with all the other hypocrites I just mentioned. Doesn't change reality, does it? Reality is what it is. The planet's in total meltdown. Climate engineering making it far worse, not better. Finishing from this report, other new research points to widespread surface melt at multiple locations around Antarctica. That includes a raging seasonal 400-foot-wide waterfall and nearly 700 drainage systems undercutting the ice. Both developments have shocked scientists. Final statement, the Larsen C crack is only a symptom of a larger problem. Taken together, recent findings show troubling changes are happening almost everywhere across Antarctica's massive icy expanse. Power Structure knew this was going on for a very long time. It's part of why they started climate engineering in 1945. Before the negative consequences kicked in, it had an effect. It slowed down that melt while it was shredding the ozone layer and poisoning the entire planet and every one of us. But that's success to the power structure. If they can hide a problem for a while, they consider that success. Just like the corrects it used in the Gulf of Mexico, hid the severity of that oil spill, still hiding it, at the cost of making the toxicity of that spill exponentially worse, 52 times worse, according to environmental impact reports. More headlines. And stick with me, because I know this is very dire news. This whole program is about reality, because we don't have any reality from so many other sources, none. So it's necessary to take in the full scope of reality if we're to have any chance of changing it. I'll get to what we can each do at the end of this program. Bear with me. A new headline from Forbes magazine. The Great Barrier Reef is in its, quote, final terminal stage. This is from Forbes. The Great Barrier Reef is perhaps on its final deathbed as it suffers from back-to-back massive dying events in the past 2 years. Australia's Great Barrier Reef is one of the great natural wonders of the world. Largest living organism in the world, by the way, or was. A tremendous display of beauty, biodiversity, and fragile ecosystems. Now the reef faces mass destruction as a result of warming seas. That's absolutely the case. That's what's killing the coral. And this is most important and typically not mentioned from official sources, the reefs are being scorched with massive UV radiation. What's the single greatest cause of the destroyed ozone layer causing that UV radiation? Climate engineering. Not the only source of damage. CFCs, absolutely a problem. Other forms of anthropogenic activity and pollution, a problem. Climate engineering, the biggest problem. No mention of climate engineering from any mainstream source, which must be included if these reports are to be fully credible. And while the planet plummets into full-blown meltdown, the pursuit of more fuel for industrialized society continues. Think of the absurdity of this. Our planet is completely imploding, and the only thing military-industrialized society can do is to try to find more resources to further expand its insanity. Now we have, here's a headline. It should make Americans happy, and Donald Trump's Make America Great Again. Saudis now fully own America's biggest oil refinery. Saudi Aramco has become 100% owner, 100% of Port Arthur, an oil refinery in Texas. Port Arthur has a capacity of 600,000 barrels per day, making it the biggest in North America. Saudis have also acquired 24 distribution terminals. The Saudi firm, this is Aramco, also got exclusive right to sell Shell-branded gasoline and diesel in Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, goes on and on, D.C., eastern half of Texas, and the majority of Florida. Does anyone even question how the Saudis get away with everything? How the Saudis get put on the Human Rights Council while they're bombing the poorest country in the world, Yemen, mercilessly bombing civilians supported by the U.S. and the U.K.? How the Saudi Arabians are put on the Women's Rights Council now as well as the Human Rights Council, and that countries, Western European countries and the U.S. won't disclose the fact that they voted for this to happen. Saudi Arabia, who had all their citizens flown back after 9/11, no questions asked. Doesn't anybody question this? This is the source of oil. It all comes back down to the sources of energy, does it not? The book House of Bush, House of Saud, elaborating on the absolute marriage between the U.S. power structure and the oil in Saudi Arabia. Why is any of this a surprise? So now we have Saudi Arabia controlling our oil as well. These people are all in bed together, all of them. Where's the patriotism in that? Well, Americans are, again, blindly waving their flags and supporting what's happening right now. This is what's happening under Mr. Trump's administration. And again, he's only a face on the power structure, just like Obama, just like Clinton, just like Bush. I want to state that again and again because people don't seem to get it. I want to read a profound quote by John Saul Ralston about, this elaborates again on the betrayal of academia. Science has supposedly led the way in the battle against the forces of darkness. Discoveries were celebrated as if new territories were won on the road to a place of eternal light where knowledge would reign. And yet, these very real advances in the uncovering of nature's secrets seemed increasingly to create a world which escaped the control of society. New knowledge and new positive powers in the hands of man seemed inevitably to be matched with new inaccessible elites and new sophistication in the arts of violence and destruction. As for the scientists, the vast majority of whom continue to believe in the inviolability of progress. They still do so with the driven purity of terrorists. Are not those in academia who are the obedient order followers of the military-industrial complex, building everything from nuclear bombs to the other weapons of mass destruction that are being used all over the world, the depleted uranium ammunition being used for practice off our own coast, which are part of the massive marine die-off right now, and all the other forms of human expansion being engineered by academicians that apparently will do anything they're told for a paycheck and a pension. Are they not criminal accomplices to all that's happening? The same academicians that are pushing climate engineering these programs of mass global omnicide, they're all accomplices. That's a simple fact. How did we arrive at the dark hour we now find ourselves in? And the journey has taken place over a great span of time in which the majority of the masses have had no particular interest, as I stated earlier, in the truth. During this same human era, how few have chosen to face and accept that each of us has a responsibility to the whole, a responsibility to the greater good, not to the power structure, false patriotism programming that conditions most of society to blindly supporting the military-industrial complex juggernaut of total insanity. Rather, I'm speaking of something very different. We all have a responsibility to seek out the truth, the whole truth, and to fully face it without bias, preconception, or ideology. We then have a responsibility to act on the truths we have discovered. We all have a responsibility to correctly and reasonably exercise our greatest gift of free will, so that we might each do our part to turn the tide of insanity, that we might each do our part to help to correct the current course of the human race, a course that will very soon lead to total planetary omnicide. That's a mathematical fact. And back to what our society is doing. A few more headlines that involve Donald Trump, the current face of the power structure. One of the factions of the power structure, I should say. Trump budget has potentially huge upside for defense stocks. No surprise. Another headline. Trump victory boosts demand for defense stocks. That's from Forbes. No surprise again. Another headline. Did President Trump profit from the U.S. missile strike against Syria? Evidence indicates yes. Another headline. Trump's pumped-up Pentagon budget means gold rush for defense contractors. None of this is any surprise. The planet's imploding, environment's imploding, military-industrial complex thriving for the moment. Let's touch on a little more hypocrisy. So the U.S. is pushing toward World War III with Korea for testing some weapons while we gave Pakistan nuclear weapons. How absurd was that, to give an unstable country like Pakistan nuclear weapons? Thank the U.S. for that. Also want to mention, by the way, Trump has five former Goldman Sachs bankers surrounding him as his appointees. That should be no surprise either. Another headline. U.S.-led strikes against ISIS have killed at least 352 civilians, Pentagon admits. And yes, of course, the excuse for killing these civilians is we're fighting ISIS. But let's remember who spawned, funded, fueled ISIS. John McCain standing with ISIS leaders, ISIS forces using trucks supplied by the Pentagon, weapons that ultimately came from the Pentagon. It's all about creating conflict for the military-industrial conflicts. How easy is that to understand at this point? Want to get to more headlines? What did Trump actually state while playing out his part in the power structure-controlled elections? Again, Trump just an actor in the play. Listen carefully to what Trump states and compare it to his current actions. Trump stated this, "We're getting out of the nation-building business and instead focusing on creating stability in the world. Unlike other candidates for presidency, war and aggression will not be my first instinct. You cannot have a foreign policy without diplomacy. A superpower understands that caution and restraint are really, truly signs of strength. Although not in government service, I was totally against the war in Iraq, very proudly saying for many years that I would not destabilize the Middle East like that." Consider that in the background of his current actions. And consider this headline. Leading psychiatrists, plural, express concern at president's dangerous, quote, instability and unpredictability. From that report, President Trump's apparent feckless impulsiveness in dropping weapons of mass destruction, like the Moab, the massive bomb dropped on Afghanistan, and the 59 Tomahawk cruise missiles launched against Syria after a false flag, unproven chemical attack that was certainly staged or carried out by someone other than the Syrian government. And these actions have unnerved much of the world, understandably so. His threats to Iran and North Korea, also invoking a possible U.S. nuclear attack without apparently even being aware of the consequences. This is the stuff of nightmares, indeed of the chilling film The Day After. A final statement from psychiatrists cited in this report, quote, "We have an ethical responsibility to warn the public about Donald Trump's dangerous mental illness. Worse than just being a liar or a narcissist, in addition, he is paranoid, delusional, and grandiose." Now let me follow that up with this statement. Is Hillary Clinton any more sane than Mr. Trump? Certainly not. How about Bush or Obama? No. The point is this. All are criminals. All are a part of the power structure play. Just puppets on the end of strings. That's it. And how many still buy into the delusion that any of these elected officials are going to somehow miraculously change everything? From how many people in the anti-geoengineering community did I hear that Trump is going to stop the spraying? Has it stopped? No. It's been ramped up even more than ever before. Has Trump in any way stabilized the extremely volatile conditions we see around the world? No. He's throwing unimaginable amounts of fuel on the fire. All of us need to take a good, long, hard look at reality. I'm running out of time. There's a lot more I could cover, but I want to get to a very important statement from Chris Hedges, who has a great deal of wisdom to impart if anyone would listen to him. Here's a statement. The idiots take over in the final days of crumbling civilizations. Idiot generals wage endless, unwinnable wars that bankrupt nations. Idiot economists call for reducing taxes for the rich and project economic growth on the basis of myth. Idiot industrialists poison the water, the soil, the air, slash jobs, and depress wages. Idiot bankers gamble on self-created financial bubbles and impose crippling debt on the citizens. Idiot journalists and public intellectuals pretend despotism is democracy. Idiot intelligence operatives orchestrate the overthrow of foreign governments to create lawless enclaves that give rise to enraged fanatics. Idiot professors, quote experts, and quote specialists busy themselves with unintelligible jargon and arcane theory that buttresses the policies of the rulers. Donald Trump is the face of our collective idiocy. He is what lies behind the mask of our professed civility and rationality. A sputtering, narcissist, bloodthirsty megalomaniac, he wields armies and fleets against the wretched of the earth. Blithery ignores the catastrophic human misery caused by global warming, pillages on behalf of global oligarchs, and at night sits back, slack-jawed, in front of a television set before opening his, quote, beautiful Twitter account. He is our version of the Roman Emperor Nero. The entire system, our entire government, is nothing more than a massive orchestration of the completely out-of-control military, industrial, medical, industrial, pharmaceutical, industrial complex. Why do so many still choose to participate in such a fraudulent system? Why do so many still choose to believe that their vote in such a system has any true meaning or effect? And why do so many delusionally believe that the immensely powerful shadow government would magically be defeated by any one of the presidential election cast of clowns and criminals who in the end are nothing more than controlled actors in the grand power structure orchestrated drama? I'm almost out of time for this episode. I want to give a final summary and reminder of what is unfolding around us, of what we must all constantly keep in mind so that we can properly prioritize our time and our energies most effectively toward the fight for the greater good. Collapsing ecosystems around the globe are fueling power structure desperation on countless fronts. This includes an escalation of the climate engineering assault in our skies and a push toward global conflict. Economic collapse must follow biosphere collapse. This is inevitable. What can we do? We can do everything in our power to expose the crimes of the power structure before they're prepared for that to happen. We can beat them to the intersection, so to speak. The greatest and most important leap we could collectively make in that direction is to expose the toxic weather warfare atmospheric assault. Don't sit the bench while the battle for the greater good wages on. Stand up Educate yourself. Make your voice heard. We're not helpless, and those in power are not gods. Rather, they're nothing more than twisted, demented human beings. Each of us must do our part to help turn the tide, to help stop the insanity while there's yet anything left to salvage of the planet's life support systems. The awakening of the human race depends on what each of us does or doesn't do. Make every day count. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.